I mean, they CGI'd Keira Knightley's boobs in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, right?
I don't know.
But those looked very convincing.
Yeah, I was about to say, I remember them looking really good.
I was watching very closely and it looked great.
It did look great.
In the straightest possible way, I was sure at the time. I could not look at her boobs.
Hello and welcome to Fairy Tale Fix.
Is this the podcast?
What? Why are you trying to interrupt my intro? That's very rude. This is the podcast where we read each other classic fairy tales from around the world and then fix them for a modern audience or for ourselves and for you, dear listeners. I'm Kelsey.
I'm Abby. Sorry, Kelsey.
And today we have an extremely special guest, one of our best friends of all time, Caroline.
Hello, hello. It's me.
It's Caroline. You.
If you're a patron, you'll actually recognize Caroline's beautiful voice. She was a guest on one of our bonus episodes.
Hopefully it's a little better sounding this time than it was last time.
Yeah, it looks like you got like a much more professional looking setup.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, kind of.
It's not a headset mic, which automatically makes it a more professional setup.
That is true. It's a pretty cool mic that my techie husband was able to provide to me.
Nice. And are you in a closet?
I am in the closet. It's the best setup for me. It's the quietest part of my whole house. During that minute of silence, it was just like thundering rain. Like all I could hear was just the rain pounding on my roof. It's kind of nice.
Giving it a little ambiance.
Mm-hmm. It's lovely. It's a lovely day to read a book and fix a fairy tale.
Absolutely.
We're so fucking excited to have you back and excited to hear your fairy tales. But first, we want to ask, tell us about yourself and where people can find you and what your whole thing is.
Sounds
yeah, Caroline,
good.
What's your whole thing?
What's
I've never
my
heard
whole
it.
Thing?
I have
oh
no
my
idea.
Gosh, it's like
what
you guys,
you're into or what you're about.
Right? You like don't even know who I am. So I'm Caroline, and I am a language nerd. I'm a nerd of lots of different kinds. I am a speech language pathologist, and I particularly work with a lot of individuals who are not able to use their mouth to speak. So they are considered non-speaking or partially speaking, and they use what's called AAC or augmentative or alternative communication forms. And then I run a social group or like a group for people to practice AAC if they want, and it's called Out and About. It is Greater Sacramento area Out and About AAC group. And we meet 3 times a year virtually and just kind of hang out and use AAC to communicate with each other. It's pretty cool. And you can find out more about that at carecommunicates@gmail.com.
What you do never sounds less impressive anytime you say it. Legitimately.
Really?
No, legitimately, you are so cool. Whenever you talk about what you do and the kind of work you do, I'm just always like, wow, Caroline's so smart. Caroline's
oh, that's cool.
So awesome. Caroline is so good at taking care of people.
And the passion behind it, too. I feel like I've known you since, we were 15 or 16, something like that.
Yeah, we've known each other for 19 years now, Kelsey.
Oh my God, that's like almost 2 decades.
I know.
Oh my God, we're getting so old.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like you've always had that. You've always been very inclusive and caring. And
I try.
Communicates. That's just like the perfect handle for you.
Aw, thanks. I appreciate that. I mean, that's the point of communication, is to connect and care about each other. So, yeah. But that's why I like your guys' podcast too, because that's what fairy tales do. You know, the fairy tales like share culture. They connect and communicate something important about that culture, and connect generations and teach lessons. And it's pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
Well, you just made us sound smart. I appreciate that.
I know. Like, you know what? It is pretty awesome.
I was like, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, this is literally the perfect utilization of your degrees for cultural anthropology. This is very applicable to that, you know?
Yeah.
Very. Yeah.
We really did choose anthropology for fun, for funsies.
For sure.
For bits and giggles.
For sure. But that's what I love about it too, you know? So I'm glad that you guys were able to make something out of it, which is awesome.
You know, you actually might be able to settle a question that we had on our bonus episode, which it hasn't come out yet as of this recording, so I know you haven't been able to listen to it yet, but there is a character in the story that Kelsey read me that is referred to as like deaf and dumb, and we were wondering if calling someone dumb is like offensive to people who can't speak.
Yes, and that particular term was used not to it was originally meant as mute, like when you were saying deaf and dumb, it was technically meaning deaf and mute, not necessarily deaf and less intelligent, but like because speech. Right, yeah, but because they had such a like a pervasive ableism has really perpetuated, and culture has morphed the word dumb to be less intelligent. And so, yeah, that's definitely offensive in today's. So that would be definitely something to fix in a fairy tale, you know?
I know. Mm-hmm. The book kept saying deaf and dumb, and I was like, I don't love that.
That's the point of this podcast, right? Is to identify those problematic terminology and help our modern audience know about those kinds of things so they don't continue to perpetuate them.
Mm-hmm.
So would mute be the appropriate word?
If you had to replace it, but most people who are not able to use their mouths to speak prefer the term right now, non-speaking.
It's even
more so than the term non-verbal. The thought behind that is nonverbal means that you don't have something to say, that you don't have words. Being verbal is using words. So nonverbal means you don't have words to say, which is not necessarily the case. There's lots of different ways that you can still use words specifically to communicate, but it's not necessarily moving your mouth in a way to make those words. Mm-hmm. Using something assistive technology, like an AAC device.
Fun fact, that's actually one of the reasons we stopped using the term blind reading. I don't know if anyone has noticed, but we used to like read a book a story that we hadn't read before, and we would call it a blind reading. And I was like, I feel like that sounds a little ableist and off. So we started calling them random readings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what a visually impaired person would have to do about that too. Cause I know there's a lot of different camps in that. Like some are like, well, you can't police all language developed for a reason, but at the same time, being sensitive to those populations is important too. So I can't give my two cents one way or the other. I like to usually get the perspectives of that community firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't figure out what I would call it. If it's like, for example, like if I had a story that I had already picked, then I'm like, I haven't read it though, but it's not, so it's not random.
Right. Or like going on a blind date. Like you don't know who you're going to.
Oh, yeah. Good
you
call.
You know what I mean? That's so I don't think we have the firsthand perspective to be able to give a definite judgment on it one way or the other, you know what I mean? But it'd be very interesting to ask somebody, a part of that community, what they think about it.
I'm going to accost the next non-seeing person.
There you go.
And be like, I need you to figure
there
this out.
There you go.
Hey, get over
I
here.
Need you to make a definitive ruling on behalf of all
everyone,
people.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing is, you know, even people within that community are going to disagree.
Yeah.
Just like any other, you know, body diverse community too.
Is that language interesting?
Yeah. No wonder I'm such a nerd about it. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Like you made that your whole life, don't you think?
Yeah, it pretty much is. It's literally my whole life.
Is it communication and the different ways that we go about doing that just so horribly, terribly fascinating?
I mean, I could literally talk about it for the rest of my life. And I mean that literally not though. Figuratively.
And you probably will. Mm-hmm. Little breaks
you
in
definitely
between.
Will.
Absolutely.
Well, moving on to a couple of our more standard questions. So thank you for fielding that one, Caroline. It literally just came to me that it, like, oh, how cool that we're having Caroline on this episode when
that just happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That just happened. What is your favorite childhood fairy tale and how would you fix it?
Well, have I got a treat for you guys today, because very much like Kelsey, my favorite childhood fairy tale is Little Red Riding Hood.
Heck yeah.
And I have a lot of fixes for it, so much so that I just rewrote it.
I love that.
Is the story that I will be telling you guys today. And it kind of follows, it's kind of like a blended, I have ADHD. So I would catch bits and pieces of stories and then blend them in my head. And that's totally what I did with Little Red Riding Hood and Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. And...
So. Is that how you fixed it? Did you smush Red Riding Hood together with Robin Hood?
I kind of did a little bit.
I am hyped. I am so hyped for that. That sounds awesome. I'm ready. Let's do it.
I'm so glad you're excited. And it's more so because my name as a child was Robin. So Kelsey knows that very well. No, Abby knows that too. But to the rest of the world who doesn't know, yeah. So I didn't actually know my name was Caroline until I was 6 years old. So all of my like early childhood fairy tales, if they had Robin in them, and I will tell you, there's a lot of Robins in fairy tales and nursery rhymes. They are all over the place. So I like conflated them and I was like, you know, Little Red Riding Hood has to have a name, like an actual name. So her name's Robin.
That would be a perfect name for Little Red Riding Hood, too.
Right?
I love that.
Totally. All right. So I'm not going to give you guys any spoilers.
Are we getting right into it, or did you want to tell us your thoughts on Damsel, too? Because I think both of you
had
follow-up thoughts.
Real quick, I have a really interesting fix. So this is just to people who listened to our bonus episode. We had like a conversation about Damsel. So if you want to listen to
that. And we're still thinking about it. So
if you want to listen to our conversation on that one, you will have to sign up for our Patreon. But hey.
Give us $6.
$6. You get a whole
Or 20
month.
Like I do.
Yes. Caroline, you're such a good friend.
And then you get a t-shirt and stuff. I love your sweater, by the way, Caroline.
I know. She's
wearing a sweater that says, just say
just
chicken. But anyway, so yeah, if you want to listen to that conversation, just head on over to our Patreon. It is fairytalefix.cash or patreon.com/fairytalefixpod. Anywho, so really interesting.
I have not heard this conversation yet, by the way. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. It's true. No spoilers. No spoilers about Damsel whatsoever. Loads of spoilers over on our bonus odes. So,
okay.
But this was really interesting was we were talking about if there was like what book it was based on. And we found a book, but it said like based on the screenplay. And we were like, okay, it's just a screenplay. Adapted into a book, which we were like, man, now we don't want to read it. We were wrong.
Oh,
our wonderful patron Rabia sent me a message, and she actually contacted the author. She's amazing, and like asked her about it, and she was like, "No,
that's really cool." I can't believe Robbie y'all got doing it, our some research sort of for connect. It. That's amazing.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Robbie was doing her research. So she messaged
Thank you, Robbie.
messaged the author, and the author said that's actually the correct book that Evelyn, I'm sorry, her name's Evelyn.
Evelyn Sky.
Yeah, Evelyn Sky. So she wrote it and she said, it says based on a screenplay because that's a Hollywood requirement, even if the movie and book stories are somewhat different. And then she also goes on to say, so if you're interested in the book, we'll put a link in our show notes because I'm probably going to buy it and listen to it now. I hope you enjoyed the movie and will now enjoy the book. It has some significant differences, including the ending.
Ooh, I'm curious. Well, no. And the thing is, I love the ending.
I know.
I do too.
So how different is how different? It?
How different were we talking, Evelyn?
Very interesting. So huge shout out. Thank you to Rabia for checking on that because we Our just hero. Assumed it was like a screenplay made into a book and we were like, meh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have bought
that. Really I was like, cool. Well, then I know the story. Like, because like if this is just the novelization of the film, then like,
right. Yeah.
You know,
so,
I got
yeah,
it.
I guess that's some weird requirement. So yeah, I'm definitely going to check out the book now.
Yeah, that's flipping awesome.
Because I want to know the differences too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's always so cool. Oh my gosh. I love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Caroline, do you have some spoiler light thoughts? Or would you like to share your spoiler heavy thoughts with us some other time and some other place?
Oh goodness. I mean, I'm trying to think about how I can word things that will not be spoilery.
that thing that happened.
And yeah, that thing that happened or like
with that one person.
Yeah. And like those things, you know, and then like that other thing and then like that guy and then that chick and then, you know, just all of it.
That's such a good point.
That
Caroline.
Was the like, whole movie. Okay. this is not really spoilery whatsoever, but why in the world did they have to CG her lips so hardcore?
Oh,
do you
did
know
they?
What I'm what? Talking about?
Okay, no.
Not Millie Bobby Brown's lips. The
of course the speech therapist would notice that.
Yeah, you were watching everyone's mouths. That makes perfect sense.
Oh my gosh. okay. What's the
it
queen's name?
Clear.
Oh, Robin Wright? Or
I don't know what the character's name
or
is,
Angela
but Robin
Bassett.
Wright plays.
Let me look it up really, really fast. Yes, Robin Wright. Okay. It's Robin Wright's character. They CGI'd her mouth so hardcore and it drove me nutso.
You're
nutso.
Watch it now. Was it because they changed what she said, maybe?
No, I think
it's
just...
Oh, did they ADR a different line in?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they were trying to de-age her or make her look artificially de-aged, maybe. Like, I almost got the sense that there was, like, subplot that was giving that direction, but hey,
I don't know,
completely wrong.
I'm looking...
No, it's too CGI'd not to notice, though. You have to look at it when it's in motion. No, you can't tell when it's in still, but
okay.
When it's in motion, you can tell. It's intense. And that's not a spoiler. That's just a nitpickiness
of mine.
That's going
to ruin the movie for people.
It will ruin the movie for some of us neurodivergent people that are going
to
be like, oh, no,
like you
now I can't unsee it.
Okay.
Take your line, lay it on us.
Okay, do you guys want to make prediction for fixes?
For what yes. your mashup of Red Riding Hood and Robin Hood is going to be? Absolutely,
yes.
I would like to make some predictions, please.
Yes. Are one of y'all going to write them down or do I need to?
Kelsey's going to write
down.
Them down.
Sweet. You know what, Kelsey? Every time I listen to the episode, I literally picture your hands writing them down. Because I know how your hands look when you're handwriting stuff.
I know my weird, the way it holds my pen.
I love it.
Weird.
It's so elegant looking to me. I love it.
Kelsey's
well,
classy.
Thank you.
She
I
is.
Have a lot of people be like, that's weird.
No, she's got those piano hands.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very intentional. Very graceful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abby, you go first. What are your predictions?
Okay. Okay. the wolf has been replaced with the Merry Men.
That's a really awesome that's prediction.
Solid. That's a solid prediction, right?
It really is, actually.
Wait, real fast. Is this fairy tale? What's this fairy tale mashup fix rating?
Like, what percentage is it mashed up?
Is it
no, no, no?
It's, what's no, its, is it what's G? Its rating? Is it PG? Is it R?
Oh, it's G. It's G.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe PG-13, but G for the most part.
So, like, Lola could watch the movie.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I've changed one of my predictions.
I know. So this version is like the childhood, like, little Robin inside of me rewrote this.
Okay. Oh, that's so cute.
That's so cute.
Okay, sorry, Abby. Okay. Go on. Second prediction.
Wolf replaced with the Merry Men, Red Riding Hood is their leader or becomes their leader. She's their leader.
You know. That's amazing.
And the overarching major enemy of the story is very much still the tax collectors.
Oh. I like that too.
Okay. I was immediately thinking it was going to be so much dirtier. I'm having a hard time. My prediction is Red Riding Hood is like Robin Hood, and she's the one stealing.
It's a good prediction, too.
Yeah. I mean, Red Riding Hood, Robin Hood, they both got the hood.
Mm-hmm. They both got the hood. The hood.
Now that you mentioned it, that is such a that's such a good prediction. I'm a little embarrassed I didn't think of it.
little Caroline. Oh, little Robin. I think Red Riding Hood tames the wolf.
I like that prediction too.
Like a pet.
Is that three what predictions or two predictions? That's, is that all?
That's two. I've got one more.
Okay.
So my third prediction is, oh my gosh, I don't know. Red Riding Hood is Robin Hood. Red Riding Hood tames the wolf. I'm going to predict you inserted a witch.
That's I'm so really good.
I'm really trying to think of what little Caroline might do.
I bet she did.
Oh my goodness. Oh, Lynn. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I love right, those predictions. Those are the best predictions ever. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. So, without further ado, it is Little Red Robin Hood.
So cute.
Okay. So, there once was a little girl named Robin who lived in a town with her parents and her little brother, Beau.
Sorry, Caroline has an actual little brother.
And we actually did call him Beau, like Jim Beau.
Nice. Oh, I should have predicted she had a brother. God damn it.
Her grandparents all lived out of town, but the closest grandparent was her dear grandmother, Mary. Robin called her grandma, and grandma called her a couple of different names, including Robbie or Little Red or Little Robin Hood or any combination thereof. And that was because Robin loved to wear her bright red riding cloak that had a hood and pockets that were accessible from the inside and the outside.
Yes, the dream.
And that was because Robin loved to wear her red, bright red riding cloak that had a hood and pockets that were accessible from the inside and the outside. Hell yeah.
Pockets.
I know, right? Cloak is nothing without pockets. Robin's parents liked her to wear it when she was outside on her own so that she could easily be spotted amongst the trees and bushes that was their backyard. One afternoon, Robin's mom got a call from Grandma explaining that she couldn't attend the tea party that they had planned for that day because she was feeling under the weather.
Aww.
Robin's mom, whose name was Sue, had the idea.
Was her name Sue?
Of course it was. This is little kid Robin. This is coming from experience.
And everybody has a name.
Everybody has a name. That's right. It's very important in fairy tales. It really is. Sue had the idea to send her daughter with a care basket that included like soup and tea and lemons and honey and apples and dried meats and cheeses and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm. Robin was thrilled to go. She felt honored that she could be trusted to go on her own. And Robin's father told her to make sure that she kept her cloak on and not to talk to anyone and not to walk in the dark. Her mother added to call when she got to Grandma's and not to forget the basket on the way back. Robin donned her cloak and took the basket that Sue had packed with the care packages and pat Bo on the head as she said farewell. She started to take the familiar route down the street by the library, turning at the gas station, past the cemetery until you reach the tree line. There's a neighborhood of fancy but small houses, and then the neighborhood becomes sparse with acres of forest between the properties that run along a windy river.
I love this. Oh, great descriptions, like, Caroline.
You like my imagery there?
Yeah, you're painting a beautiful picture here. I love it.
The details.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go.
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Along the way near the gas station, Red Robin Hood felt something watching her. She passed the station hearing a dog, one that she thought kind of looked like a wolf with its mangy hair, his gaunt but big figure, and yellow eyes and snarling teeth. Robin slowly walked by, non-threatening, as she passed the creature, but still kept feeling that watched sensation. At the stoplight before entering the tree line, past the cemetery, she heard a gruff voice ask her where she was going. "Where are you going, little girl?"
That's such a good voice.
I really like to do voices in stories. "Oh, to my grandma's house." "Oh, is all that yummy smelling food for her?" he said hungrily.
"Yeah, she's sick, and this can feed her for a while," Robin blabbered.
Little blabbermouth. Shut up, Robin.
Yeah, for real. She needs to not give so many details.
Ranger danger.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. "Well, she's lucky to have such a good little granddaughter. Have a safe trip."
"Thank you."
I know. Gross, right? Nothing more red flaggy than like, "Take care." Like, yeah.
No, you take care.
"Thank you," she said to the towering man in all black with a ratty oversized hat and a long beard. He also had strange yellow eyes, just like the wolf's.
Oh my God.
He sounds hot.
Kelsey, neither of us guessed there was going to be a werewolf in this story. We're so dumb.
Yeah, God, you're right. Well, she said it was rated G.
Sorry, we're not so dumb. We're very not intelligent.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so Robin kept walking, and while the stranger walked on the other side of the street, she never lost that sense of being watched. She decided that she might quicken her pace to Grandma's house. Mm-hmm. Smart girl. Mm-hmm. Yep. She got there and knocked on her grandma's door.
"Who is it?"
Grandma yelled from deep in the house.
"It's me, little Red Robin Hood. I'm here with the basket Mom packed for you. Come on in, child." Little Red Robin Hood.
Solid old lady voice.
Oh, yeah. I love my old lady voice.
"Come get comfy."
So Robin went in, she took off her cloak and put it over the chair. She put the basket on the table and started to unpack all of the good foods from the care package. She put away the fruits, meats, and cheeses, and then started to warm up two bowls of soup and served two cups of tea.
Oh, Robbie, what good food this is.
All the better to take care of you, Grandma.
Aw.
Aw. Aw. We get our first classic line. And after sharing some stories and laughs, and Grandma getting tired, it was quickly approaching dark and Robin had to go. So she grabbed her cloak and then gave her grandma a kiss and rushed out of the house yelling, "See you tomorrow, Grandma. Love you." As her grandma fell asleep. And Robin was in a hurry. She ran through the forest and the fancy neighborhood, past the cemetery, and got to the stoplight. The light turned on to walk, and Robin started to run. She only got pulled back against her efforts by her red cloak that was held by none other than the wolf from earlier in the day.
Dun, dun, dun! Oh, no.
Oh, no. Robin unclasped her cloak as she screamed and ran as fast as she could, turning at the gas station, running down the street, past the library until she got to her home, where she slammed the door, panting and crying. Her mother, father, and little brother were stunned. Then they were worried. Then they started bombarding her with questions about what happened. Sure. Is Grandma okay? Where's your cloak? Where's the basket?
All good questions.
My family was really intense, and
I always wanted it. Loves you in a fairy tale.
Exactly,
Caroline. This is supposed to be believable.
It was my dream. Okay. Okay. So Robin was overwhelmed and crying until she processed the last question about the basket. She had forgotten it at Grandma's, and in the rush, then the wolf and dog had ripped off her cloak, and then on the way home, and she explained it all to her family, and they hugged her, and they told her it was going to be okay, and her parents told her that they will all go and get everything tomorrow. Maybe they could find the cloak along the way, that maybe it was dropped by the dog. So they all settled and rested for the night. Meanwhile, a knock, knock, knock pounded on Grandma's door.
Who is it?
Because she fell asleep.
This is sound effects. That's so good.
That was the perfect snort awake.
It's me, your...
A squeaky voice tried to say.
Your granddaughter. Oh, it must be morning already. I felt like I barely slept, said Grandma as she opened her eyes.
She saw the tip of the red cloak through the little peephole of her door, the little window of her door. So she thought it was Little Red Robin Hood. And she saw the basket that Robin had left on the table. So she looked to the door, and strange, it still seemed to be dark, but maybe it was just cloudy. So she could see the little tip of Red Robin Hood's hood and waddled slowly to the door. When she opened it, her eyes felt like they were bulging out of their skull and playing tricks on her. Robin's cloak was on a scrawny looking man dressed in dark clothes. He was covered with hair, and he lunged at Grandma, knocking her out cold from her head hitting the ground. The wolf man. So ding, ding, ding for werewolf. Woo-hoo. That nobody guessed.
Nobody guessed. Yeah.
God damn it.
I feel very foolish.
I know. I really thought Kelsey was going to guess werewolf too.
Yeah. Kelsey, she usually tries to put. That's your.
Wow. You
know she usually tries to put right werewolves now. In Red Riding Hood however she can. So I'm surprised she didn't put
I answered
in this one.
A witch.
That's true.
I predict a witch.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So the wolf man had stuffed Grandma into a wardrobe and also took a set of matching clothing that she was wearing. So like a long white nightgown and a puffy white cap. Grandma's phone was ringing, but the wolf dare not pick it up. The answering machine turned it on. See, modern twist. Mm-hmm. The answering machine turned on, and it was Robin's mom explaining that Robin and her father would be returning the next day to get the basket and to look for her cloak as it got lost on the way home. The wolf man got nervous, and he had to figure out a way to stay to be able to get everything that he wanted. So he wanted to eat all of that yummy food from the basket. Mm-hmm. He also wanted to eat that old lady. That could keep him fed for a week.
Absolutely.
Because he wasn't really partial to old meat, though. He liked young and strong meat. So he came up with a plan.
Aging bones.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know. Young chicken and old chicken taste a little different, you know? So he came up with a plan. Robin and her father were coming, and he could play the long game and get some delicious meat, stay in this cozy home, and be fed for a couple of months, he was sure. So he grabbed a matching nightgown and cap from the wardrobe, as I had said before, and snacked on some of the dried meat before he spoiled his appetite, and he laid in Grandma's bed and fell asleep. Grandma faded in and out of consciousness while she was stuck in the wardrobe. So we're sad for Grandma, but at least she's not eaten quite yet.
She's not in his belly yet.
No. Yeah. We haven't gotten there. I'll talk about that after, actually. Okay. Okay. The next morning, Robin and her father, and I decided to name him Hunter, because it's always the hunter that is like the protector. Oh,
very nice. Okay.
Of Little Red Robin Hood, Little Red Riding Hood, whatever. So her father, Hunter, walked to Grandma's house. As they approached, they noticed that the door was just barely ajar. Robin's father said that he was going to check out the outside after he took a quick peek in to see that Grandma's nightcap and gown were moving rhythmically with loud snores echoing through the house. So Hunter thought that Grandma's fine. He's going to check out the outside. And Hunter instructed Robin to go in and check on her grandma while he looked around. Robin entered the house and was struck with fear when she spotted her cloak and heard the unfamiliar breathing noises. She slowly approached the sleeping, snoring pajamas, and all of the sudden, the snores turned into a choking and clearing of throat.
Okay.
A strange, gravelly voice emerged from the figure, mimicking Grandma. The imposter turned sleepily to address Robin.
Oh, my grandchild. You startled me.
Yes, do it again.
Oh, my grandchild, you startled me.
Grandma, you are sick.
That, pretty much. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Forgive my appearance and voice. I'm feeling a bit sick.
Sensing something strange and similar to the cautious feeling that she had from the wolf from yesterday, she didn't want to get eaten right away. She decided to play along with the plan.
Smart. Super smart.
Yep. So first, she decided to heat up the soup over the stove in a big pot, just like she had done the day before. Oh, Grandma, what big ears you have, referring to the large hairy ears that the figure had.
All the better to hear you with, my dear.
Oh, Grandma, what big eyes you have, she said loudly enough for anyone who might be in the next room or right outside the window could hear.
All the better to see you with, my dear.
Oh, Grandma, what big hands you have.
All the better to hug you with, my dear.
And he grabbed her and held her in an awkward hug And she started to get scared, but kept fighting, hoping her father would hear her and come help while he's like grabbing a hold of her. And just like,
yeah, no, I know, but it would make me less uncomfortable if you tried to eat her right away.
Yeah.
The awkward hug. Point. Please, no.
Just eat me.
Just eat me.
So she kept trying to wiggle out, but then she still said, "Oh, Granny, what big teeth you have!" Okay. Robin yelled with terror in her voice.
Oh.
"All the better to eat you with, my dear," the wolf in disguise exclaimed as he opened his mouth, adjusted his grip on Robin, and then felt hot, scalding liquid pour all over his head, his back, and his shoulders. Perfect. He shrieked.
Excellent. We like this.
Yes, we do. Sorry, I'm getting excited now. I'm getting loud.
Mm-hmm.
He shrieked and let go of Robin as Hunter proceeded to hit him in the head with a pot of soup repeatedly until the wolf was no longer at risk of consciousness.
At risk of consciousness is a great line worthy of James Finn Gardner.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Go Hunter Dad.
Yeah, hell yeah. Robin scooted backwards along the floor away from the bed until she bumped into the armoire. She heard a distinct groan come from inside, and startling Robin's attention to the groaning furniture. Robin opened the twin doors and found her real grandmother crumpled at the bottom. "Grandma," she called.
"Robbie!"
Grandma replied. Robin's father rushed over to check the scene. He found Robin crying and kneeling by the large wooden furniture that held Mary like a cradle, and she was trying to catch her breath. He checked her, found the nearest blanket, and wrapped it around her. He scooped her up and took Grandma to the car parked in the garage, in her garage, while hollering to Robin to follow him and get in. Robin's dad took them directly to the ER, where Grandma got seen by the doctor, and Robin's dad called his wife and gave a police report to the officers and told them about the wolf that should still be unconscious in the house. Grandma slowly recovered, but decided to move in with Robin, Bo, Sue, and Hunter, and they lived happily ever after. The end.
That was so cute.
It wasn't so much a blend of like Robin Hood storyline.
Yeah, Caroline, that had nothing to do nothing with Robin
to
Hood.
Do with Robin
you
Hood.
Other named Little Red Riding Hood Robin.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel pretty duped. Much. I feel misled. You told me that was a great prediction, and it was in fact not a great prediction.
But Robin saves the day, and that is the other concept that connects it to Robin Hood, is that Robin saves the day, okay?
Mm. So I get that point. Red Riding Hood is Robin Hood.
Yes.
On a technicality.
Yeah.
I leaned way too hard into thinking that this had anything to do with Robin Hood.
I almost told you at the beginning that it's not really storyline, it's more nomenclature.
No, it's better this way. It's funnier.
It's really a Little Red Riding Hood fix. I really called it Little Red Robin Hood when I was little.
Oh,
yes, you did. That's super cute. Little Red Robin Hood.
I catch myself on it all the time.
Yeah, I can't believe none of us guessed werewolf. I feel like that's just too, like, that may have been almost too predictable.
Maybe.
Or too, like.
But that's how I used to see it when I was, like, I knew it was, like, a predatory dude, and then it was also a wolf, you know? So I blended it.
Nice.
I like it.
Neurodivergent little brain. But, hey,
like
that's
the
how
modern twist.
Yeah. And, like, that's how fairy tales happen, you know? Like, it's little twists and turns and retellings that make them perpetuate through time.
I mean, I'm going to start telling it as Little Red Robin Hood from now on.
Nice.
You know, we can get enough energy going behind this in a couple hundred years, we will have there changed the name of this story.
Hell yeah.
Let's so do it. It's cute. A pact.
My favorite fix, though, is Kelsey's fix, which is that
can't even remember.
Little Red Riding Hood gets turned into a werewolf also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love that one.
It's good stuff.
It's the classic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went way off the rails on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it like... Yeah, it was like Red Riding Hood's a werewolf, and also Grandma's a werewolf.
Yes, and Grandma's a werewolf, too.
And now they're both fighting crime.
And they're basically just Baba Yaga in the future.
We decided that they were basically going to form a werewolf pack together. Yeah.
Yep.
And create more werewolves. And
yep. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite, my absolute favorite fix.
Me too. I love that fix. But I like your version of the story where Red Riding Hood gets out of the situation by using her own cleverness.
Mm-hmm.
And then also by getting help.
Too. Yes.
Like figuring out how to summon help.
Yeah.
Without alerting her attacker.
Right. Right.
It's good
exactly.
stuff. It's a good. Mm-hmm. That was a good rewrite, Caroline. I liked that.
Oh, thank you.
Good imagery.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Great imagery. Honestly, no fixes.
Oh, nice.
My fix is that it had something to do with Robin
Hood. I know. Actually, when you were making your predictions, I was like, damn, that would have been a really good one. Make him a robber. Like make the wolf a robber.
Right?
Like, that's a really good one. Like, I could still totally rewrite and re-edit it to make him a robber.
I think you should, and then you should tell it to me again with the Robin Hood elements.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I don't know. This is, like, a total, like, weird random thought about just the name Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. I literally, this morning, was like, oh, he's Robin people. That's why he's named Robin. He's Robin people.
He sure is. He's
Robin the Hood.
He's a Robin people. He's Robin the Hood.
He's given to the Hood. Now, let's see it. If you do rewrite it again, make sure to insert a witch.
I will. Yes, actually, yeah, I thought about making the grandma a witch. I thought making the grandma a witch would be totally appropriate.
It is not too much. You should do all of these things.
I think I'm gonna
for the rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
And then the popular children's book that you absolutely could sell to some publisher.
Mm-hmm. We could also put it in our book that's going to be a choose your own adventure.
Oh, yes, we put it in our book.
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's the way to do it.
Oh,
that's the way to do it.
But we have some edits.
Riding Hood would have so many different alternative endings.
Dude, I know, right? Oh, I love it. I love it. Love it. All right.
So share the Mother Goose stuff with us.
Oh, yes. Okay. So my other thing that I wanted to share with everybody today was some classic Mother Goose. What? Because these are classic AF and they are some fucked up limericks, man. Talk about fucked up fairy tales. There are a lot of little just two-line fairy tales. You know, like two-sentence horror stories. These are like two-line horror story fairy tales.
I think I've mentioned on the podcast how, like, I thought this book was cursed when I was a kid. Like, mom was telling me all the horrible, like, things behind some of the nursery rhymes, and I was like, this book is cursed, and I was freaked out.
Yeah, like the ring around the rosy window. Shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah, that's crazy. All right, well, this is our first example. Are you guys ready?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Lady Bird, fly away home. Your house is on fire, and your children will burn. That's just the first one.
Wait, why? That was the picture.
Okay.
I don't see any children on fire. That's a nice.
No, it's the ladybug's children.
Oh, wait, but her pic. They're not on fire, though.
Well, you can't see any.
Why would her house be on
fire? I don't know, but there's the ladybird. I don't know. The child is just putting bad juju into the world.
Because there's a kid with a magnifying glass doing that thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Are you ready? There's some sexy ones in here, too. Are you ready?
Ooh, some sexy ones.
Here we go.
Okay.
I like little pussy. Her coat is so warm.
Yeah, you do.
And if I don't hurt her, she'll do me no harm. So I'll not pull her tail nor drive her away. But pussy and I will very gently play.
Wow.
You better play
gentle. Wow.
And of course, it's a cute little toddler whip petting a kitty cat.
It's a cute little pussy cat.
What a pretty little pussy.
That's good advice.
It is good advice, especially if you are Coyote in that one story. You play real gentle or it will bite you.
Mm-hmm, literally.
But he likes it if it bites him a little.
Just a little.
Just a little. Little nip. This one was pretty sexy, too. About the bush, Willie, about the beehive. About the bush, Willie, I'll meet thee alive. That's it. Okay. That's the whole one.
All right.
We also have some classics that have obviously been rewritten to be more positive than their original intent. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
Ba, ba, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, Mary, have I 3 bags full. One for my master, one for my dame, but none for the little boy who cries in the lane.
Oh.
I know. Sad twist, right?
Aww.
And this little boy is crying.
Oh, well.
Wow.
You know what? He's expressing how he feels. He's expressing his emotions, and that's okay.
No, it's not okay, because then he's not going to get any wool from the sheep.
Well, that's rude.
Boys shouldn't cry. Don't cry.
Boys don't cry. That's right.
People are allowed to express their emotions.
That's right. But they're not allowed to go on adventures, as this one shows. 3 children sliding on the ice upon a summer's day. As it fell out, they all fell in. The rest, they ran away. Oh, had these children been at school or sliding on dry ground, 10,000 pounds to 1 penny, they had not when they'd been drowned. Ye parents who have children dear, and ye too who have none, if you would keep them safe abroad, pray keep them safe at home.
Jesus. PSA.
How morbid.
It's just a PSA for thin ice.
Yeah, wow. This is like the 1800s version of like the 80s commercial of like,
do you know it's 9 o'clock.
Do you know where your children are?
Exactly what it is.
I like Mother Goose like fulfilling that function. Did you let your children outside to play on thin ice?
Mm-hmm. This one was
little
a warning.
Timmy's already dead.
Totally. This one was a warning about not taking too small a boat to go somewhere. 3 wise men of Gotham went to sea in a bowl, and if the bowl had been stronger, my song had been longer.
Wow. Oh, I love that art.
That sounds like some stand-up comedy.
It is.
My song had been longer. That's fucked up. That's cold.
I love that one. Okay. Oh, this one's for you, Kelsey. Okay.
Yay!
There was an old woman tossed in a blanket 17 times as high as the moon. But where she was going, no mortal could tell, for under her arm she carried a broom. Old woman, old woman, old woman, said I, whither, ah, whither, ah, whither, so high? To sweep the cobwebs from the sky, and I'll be with you by and by.
Aww,
it's
I like
a
that.
Witch.
Aww,
this art's very pretty. I like this.
Isn't it? So
we'll
cute.
We'll have to get some pictures up on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely send you some. Okay.
And maybe a link to the book if it's still sold.
I think it is. I think so. All right. Are you ready? Now we get some LGBT representation in this one.
Oh, I love it. Please.
Yeah, me too. Gotta share my peeps. All right. Robin and Richard were 2 pretty men. They stayed in bed till the clock struck 10.
Ooh.
And up starts Robert and looks at the sky. Oh, brother Richard, the sun's very high. You go before with the bottle and bag, and I will come after on little Jack Nag. I don't know what the little Jack Nag necessarily means, but it's like, oh shit, we got to leave separately, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a walk of shame.
Like, oh no.
And I like how like they put, oh brother Richard,
oh brother, yeah,
like oh no, we're sleeping in the same bed because we're brothers, right? Okay,
they were roommates. No.
It's clearly not about two lovers.
Right.
It says nope. Brother right there.
Nope. And I love that one of them's named Robin. Love it. This is going to be the theme of all of my stories today is Robin. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, 'twas once upon a time when Jenny Wren was young, so daintily she danced and so prettily she sung. Robin Redbreast lost his heart, for he was a gallant bird. So he offed his hat to Jenny Wren, requesting to be heard. Oh, dearest Jenny Wren, if you will but be mine, you shall feed on cherry pie and drink new currant wine. I'll dress you like a goldfinch or any peacock gay. So, dearest Jen, if you'll be mine, let us appoint the day. Jenny blushed behind her fan and thus declared her mind. Since, dearest Bob, I love you so well, I'll take your offer kind. Cherry pie is very nice, and so is currant wine. But I must wear my plain brown gown and never go too fine. Because girl birds are not quite as pretty as the boy birds. I just thought that one was so cute.
Aw, that is really cute.
That one was not one of the fucked up ones, but it was so cute, and it had Robin Redbreast in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay, now, everybody, I am wearing just a chicken shirt, and I picked this particular one to go with it.
Abby, this one's for you.
This one is for you, Abby.
I can tell.
Keeping it together. It's good. Go on. I'm ready.
You ready? First four words. Cock, 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 cock. I've laid an egg.
How else are you going to start a nursery rhyme?
Exactly.
If nobody has listened before this episode, this is why we have the Just Say Chicken. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Cock, 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 cock.
Oh. I'm laughing so hard. You can see the V vein in my forehead.
My cheeks hurt.
I know. Okay, let me try this again.
You know, I've been able to hold it together better and better on stories where they just use the word once and where, like, it's in a sentence, you know? Mm-hmm. But someone just screaming for cock is so funny.
Especially a children's nursery rhyme. Cock, 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 cock. I have laid an egg. Am I to gang... But airfoot, yeah, it says it like that. Hen, 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 hen. I've been up and down to every shop in town and cannot find a shoe to fit your foot. If I'd crown my heart art out. I think it's supposed to be like how they
crowed?
Talk. Heart out. And like, am I going to gang barefoot? And I also don't know where she is going to wear these shoes. Is she going to a gangbang in these shoes? I am going. Am I to gang barefoot? Like, I don't know, Miss Hen. Ask your cock.
Gotta find the right fit. Oh boy. Okay. I'm destroyed. I'm dead.
You ready for this one?
No.
We got robins and pussies in this one. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, I keep covering my thing. Little Robin Redbreast sat upon a tree. Up went the pussycat and down went he. Down came pussycat, away Robin ran. Says little Robin Redbreast, catch me if you can. Little Robin Redbreast jumped upon a spade. Pussycat jumped after him, and then he was afraid. Little Robin chirped and sang, and what did pussy say? Pussycat said, mew, 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 and Robin flew away. Mm-hmm. I thought that one was cute, too.
That is cute.
Oh, yeah, I love the artwork in this book.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of dead rats around that cat.
No, that is Potts. terracotta pots.
Ah, I see. Okay. Okay. Yes, I see it now. For a second, I was like, oh my God. That robin should not have gotten even close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you ready for this? Okay. Do you guys remember that?
Can I just scream cock again?
We'll let you decide. You know that song, I think it's Ingrid Michaelson or somebody similar that had the like coin operated toy.
Dress and Dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This one reminds me, I was like, this is the poem that inspired that.
Oh, interesting.
Sitting on a shelf when I turn him on. Yeah. When I turn him on, then he makes me happy. Okay. I had a little husband, no bigger than my thumb. I put him in a pint pot and there I bid him drum. Hell yeah. Well, not little. They're not that.
I have an array.
Okay. Stop there. I put him in a pint pot and there I bid him drum. I bought a little handkerchief to wipe his little nose and a pair of little garters to tie his little hose.
Wow.
I love that one. That one just has so much subtle innuendo. It's
also because so if we're it's so much sexual innuendo if you're taking it as a metaphor. If you're taking it literally, why are you wiping your husband's nose?
It's don't like you're
you
cleaning
mean,
your toy
you mean a little
off
child
yeah. Right.
No,
yeah,
no, I get it as a metaphor. I'm saying if
yeah,
you
but like
literally.
If it's a person, yeah,
right.
Okay, all right, one last one. This is just a what the fuck. Okay. There was a man in our town, and he was wondrous wise. He jumped into a bramble bush and scratched out both his eyes. And when he saw his eyes were out with all his might and main, he jumped into another bush and scratched them in again.
I don't love that.
That was very like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Scratch them in. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Works. I don't know what that means.
How? What that? No, I don't know. I don't like this.
Yeah, that
well,
was an
kids,
awkward
good
one.
Night.
Yep. Good night. Yeah, that's literally the last one. That's literally the last one in that book.
Wow.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
Nutso begutso. And that's all I got for you.
Well, thank you, Caroline.
That was a delight.
That was a roller coaster. I felt lots of feelings all over the place.
I'm glad I could make you feel alive.
Mother Goose continues to be the most horrifying thing in children's literature. It has a exalted place for a good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep this on the adult bookshelf for a good reason.
We do not want Lola asking certain questions.
I mean, I'm down to answer questions, but cock. No. And me busting out laughing. I'm like, I can't really explain why I'm laughing so hard.
No. The problem is if she does it in public, other adults will totally understand. And then she'll start wondering, why are all of the adults laughing so hard?
Yeah.
Exactly. So
well,
funny.
Ladies, do we have a little more stamina for me to do a random read?
I am down.
I'm so fucking lutely.
I'm so excited.
All right, my lovelies, you know the drill. I'm going to flip through the pages of the complete first edition of the original Folk and Fairy Tales of the Brothers Grimm, translated and edited by Jack Zipes.
Woo!
Y'all tell me when to stop.
Wait until it's at the very end. Caroline, you do it.
And stop.
I feel like all the weird ones are near the back.
Agreed. Like all the weird short ones.
Or the weird, they're either in the front or in the back.
The Heavenly Wedding.
Ooh, how lovely.
None of us have ever read this story before, so we all get to make predictions. Sorry, Caroline, what have you just watched?
Oh, I just watched Love is Blind, and so I have weddings on the brain.
Oh, indeed. Well, we need to talk about this season offline.
Love it. Will
do. I'm sure we both have thoughts and feelings.
It was a wild one.
The Heavenly Wedding.
How many predictions do we get to make?
You know, it's about a page, so I'm going to let you each make two. And I'll make two because I haven't read it either.
Okay. The Heavenly Wedding. I'm going to predict that one of the wedding party members is an animal.
Ooh, that's fun.
Like whether it be secret or not, like shapeshifty or not, but like is actually an animal.
Yeah.
My second prediction is that the wedding looks nice, but feels bad.
Ooh, looks nice, feels bad. I'm into it.
That's a great prediction.
That's a good one.
I hope that's right, actually.
that's creepy.
Okay. I predict that it is literally heavenly. Mm. Like there is some sort of heaven,
like an alternate element. Alternate realm.
Yeah. It's literally heavenly. My second prediction is that it ends in no marriage.
Ooh.
Okay. I think that's a fair prediction, actually.
I don't.
Nobody ends up actually married.
Okay. Inspired by Love is Blind.
None of those people should get married.
Ever.
Ever. With the possible exception of that one couple from season one.
I was like, there's like two couples, maybe three couples I can think of. And I'm like, yeah, they're good.
I can think of two.
Anyway.
Okay, my predictions.
Abby, I forgot you get to make predictions.
Yeah, I get to make a couple. I haven't read it either. Leaving me off the list. This is a Jack and Rose from Titanic situation.
Ooh. Wait,
so
what does
like
that
class
mean?
Differences or
No.
One of them dies.
One of them died when they were young, and so they get married after they die.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
Okay. I'm interested to see that. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what's your second prediction?
There's a devil.
Ooh. Yes. I thought about that for a second, too.
Love a devil.
I decided with animal instead.
Okay. Are we ready?
Hit us.
Mm-hmm. Once there was a peasant boy.
Once. W-H- O O N C E. Once.
Marriage. Once there was a peasant boy who heard a priest talking in church. Whoever desires to enter the kingdom of heaven must always walk a straight path.
Mm. Boo.
Back in the club. Only straight people.
Straight it is.
So the boy set upon his way and went straight along, always straight ahead, without turning, over hill and valley. He took this very literally.
Oh, wow. I think he might have been on the spectrum.
Yes. Oh, my God. This is absolutely an autistic boy. Like he's like, heard.
I will go straight.
I got it. I will
straight and narrow. I will not even widen my legs. I will go narrow.
I know my home is to the left, but the priest told me I have to go straight. And so straight is what I will go.
Yep.
Finally, his way led into a large city and then into the middle of a church where a holy service was being performed. When he saw all the magnificent pomp, he thought that he had now reached heaven. So he sat down and rejoiced with all his heart. When the holy service was over and the sexton told him to leave, he answered, "No, I'm never going to leave. I'm happy now that I've finally made it to heaven."
Aw, that's so cute.
That is cute. The sexton went to the priest and told him that there was a boy who didn't want to leave the church because he thought he was in heaven. And the priest essentially has the same reaction to us, which is, "Aw." Aw. If that's what he believes, the priest said, then let him stay.
Aww.
This is like the most like cute story so far.
It's kind of adorable.
Now it becomes like a little altar boy.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully later, he doesn't get diddled.
I mean, yeah, we let's not make him an altar boy. Yikes, Caroline, God.
Yeah, yikes.
Well, I mean, you heard all those nursery rhymes.
<I did. laughs> Yes, the little fellow answered. He was used to working. Oh, wait, sorry. I skipped a whole sentence because Caroline's horrifying statement.
Yeah.
Okay, so the priest goes to the boy and asks him if he would like to do some work.
Yeah, I would.
I didn't mean to laugh like a truck. I'm sorry.
like a truck that's having trouble starting.
Now it's recorded forever.
It is. Y'all can I'm gonna clip it and
make it a soundboard.
Make it my ringtone.
So yes, the little fellow would like to have a job.
A normal job. Safe job.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding it together.
He was used to working, but he never wanted to leave heaven again. Caroline, you're horrible. I'm
sorry.
You've infected me. You took this adorable story and you took it to a place that my brain can't untake it to.
Just like a preacher's daughter would.
Oh, right. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I guess she can't help herself. Okay. So he remained in the church, and when he observed how the people went up to the image of the Virgin Mary with the blessed child Jesus carved in wood and how they knelt down and prayed, he thought, that's our dear Lord. And he said, listen, dear Lord, you're much too thin. The people are certainly letting you starve. I'll bring you half my food every day.
Aw, sweet kid. Sweet boy.
I feel like this episode is called Aw.
Aw, sweet Robin.
This boy's name is now Robin. From then on, he brought the image of mother and child half of his food every day, and the image began to enjoy the meals.
Ooh.
That really fucking creepy.
That's weird.
Ooh, I
like where this is going.
Yeah. After a few weeks, people noticed that the mother and child in the image had put on weight and that they had become fat and strong, and they were quite surprised. The priest couldn't understand it either, so he remained in the church and followed the little boy and saw how he shared his meal with the Virgin Mary and how she also accepted it.
Interesting.
After some time, the boy became sick and couldn't leave his bed for a week. But when he could get out of bed again, the first thing he did was to bring his food to the Blessed Virgin. The priest followed him and heard him say, dear God, please don't think wrong of me for not having brought you anything for such a long time, but I was sick and couldn't get up. The image answered him by saying, I've seen your good intentions, and that's enough for me. Next Sunday, I want you to come with me to the wedding.
Ooh.
The boy was glad about this.
So you actually get told, to heaven.
I'm honestly kind of wondering, like, is this going to have a Hans Christian Andersen style happy ending?
This is real creepy.
We're like, they died. Hooray.
Aw, I was hoping that he got to grow up and sleep with Richard.
No. You shush. So the boy was glad about this and told the priest, who asked him to go to the image and inquire whether the priest could also come along.
Ooh.
No, replied the image. You alone.
Oh my, no.
The priest.
So creepy.
I think Kelsey's going to get her point.
The priest wanted to prepare the boy first by giving him Holy Communion. The boy was happy to do this, and on the next Sunday, when he partook of the Holy Communion, he fell down dead, and thus he went to the eternal wedding.
What? Is that the end?
That's the end. The end.
Wait, read that last part again.
Next Sunday, when he partook of Holy Communion, he fell down dead, and thus he went to the eternal wedding.
What the fuck? Yay, I got a point. I got 2 points.
You got 2 points.
It was literally heavenly, and nobody ends up married. What? How? What? That's so creepy.
So he doesn't get to grow up with Richard.
Oh, he really doesn't. Sad.
He doesn't get, he poor just gets thing. To die.
Oh, this is
he
like
gets
a
to
little,
be dead.
Oh, I'm like imagining like a poor little sick leukemia kid back in the day who has no treatment. He's just laying up in a little monastery and like all he wants to do, his little last wish is to give his little friends in the picture their last meal because he couldn't do it for so long. And then he gets communion and goes to heaven.
And there was no wedding. How was it a wedding?
What is the eternal wedding?
How I don't is that? Know. Is he marrying Jesus?
I don't
know. Like, that's what, like, monks
no,
and
Caroline, and you can't go to heaven unless you're straight.
Oh, he did. He did the priest follow said that the in straight the beginning path. Of the story. He followed it straight to his fucking death. To
his death.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. That was so creepy. I hated that. Thanks, Jack Zipes. maybe there's like a translation thing, or just like it's old. Like maybe eternal wedding is just like the marriage of the soul to heaven or to Christianity. Was the priest mad he couldn't come, so he murdered the little kid? Did he poison the communion?
Oh my god! I hope not. That's dark.
Ooh, even darker take.
That's a darker take.
I have so many
take.
Questions about that.
I want you to come.
Was
with me
the devil in that story, Abby?
There's a parable. Yes. There's a parable that Jesus gave to his disciples, supposedly about the heavenly wedding banquet. The parable explains that the saints who attend the wedding banquet will receive salvation and enter the eternal kingdom of heaven. So that might be what it's like referring to.
Who's getting married in this parable?
We don't know. I don't know.
Caroline, okay. I'm giving you a point because the wedding looks nice but feels bad.
Oh. Yeah. That's a point for Caroline. Like,
and Abby, I'm giving you a point because the devil is in that story for real. I'm not sure exactly who it is, but I think it's the priest.
It's someone. I think it's the priest. Like,
I think so too. I think he spiked priests? That communion and sent that little boy to heaven.
I don't,
the first one that says you have to walk a straight line, and then the second one who murdered that little kid. There were two devils in that story.
There were two devils inside this story, or two devils.
Wow.
Wow.
Moral of this story is that fairy tales are fucked up.
Fairy tales are fucked up.
And they come from human fucked up experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess like the most generous interpretation of this story, like, is Caroline yours, where it's like the child already had like a terminal illness,
yeah,
or something, and like maybe couldn't keep his food down. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why he like gave half of it to the painting or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely.
But the painting or statue or whatever it was got like thicker and people noticed. That's so creepy.
I know.
That is some creepy. Honestly, I'd be down to see like a short horror.
There are some things
or like an Easter. I feel like an Easter egg of that would be really cool. You know, like not necessarily a whole plot line, but like a little side plot.
Mm-hmm. And it was so cute and like sweet and wholesome up to a point. And then like I think around the time that like this the mother and child started getting bigger, like is around the time where I was like, that story
did not disappoint. I mean, I love it so much.
No, that was a great one. Oh, do we have any fixes for it?
I don't know. Something supernatural is happening and the priest is feeding a monster.
Ooh.
Something like that.
I want
that
something the more overtly horror movie-esque.
Like,
having to
like
with that
the painting
portrait.
Is sent like actually sentient and like a portal.
Yeah. Ooh. Was it a painting or a statue? I totally spaced on what
I
it actually
I think I
is.
Spaced on that too. I thought it was a painting. That's how
because as soon as you
it.
Started talking about it, I was picturing that like Weeping Angel statue from Doctor Who.
It sounds like a carving. So it was like a wood carving of the Virgin Mary and baby Jesus.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the fact that it's getting...
That makes it... It does make it like more devil-y.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a demon-possessed object, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. And the priest just helping feed it.
Mm-hmm. Under a guise. Yeah.
Little kids. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Ooh.
That was fun.
Creepy. That was kind of a fun one. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, right, I don't know.
So
like,
our fix is,
definitely wouldn't call it the heavenly wedding.
No.
No, it's one of those, this is definitely one of those Grimm's fairy tales where it's like we forgot that they often start with something that will never be actually mentioned more than once.
Yeah, or like it ends up there, but you didn't think it was going that direction.
Yep. Yeah. If any of our listeners have like more thoughts about like the heavenly wedding or like know more about what that is, like I'm sincerely very curious. Like I don't know what that
means. I tried to look it up, but I just got like a bunch of wedding websites.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I saw too. Well, good job, everyone. I feel like Caroline's initial story was the most wholesome thing that we heard about to be. It was going to be eclipsed by the heavenly wedding, and then the heavenly wedding took an incredibly dark turn.
Just as dark as Mother Goose.
Yeah, just as dark as Mother Goose, and also like unintentionally dark. I think that's supposed to be a happy ending.
Yeah.
But as with all those Hans Christian Andersen stories where like the protagonist has to die in order to move on, like it's just, oof, I don't like it. But we like you.
Aww, and I love you.
Aww. Thank you, Caroline, for coming on with us today. We love you so much. This was so much fun. Can you remind people where they can find you out and about doing things on the interwebs?
Yes. So I am the Distracted SLP is my Instagram handle. And I also run the Greater Sacramento Out and About AAC group, which if you search Facebook for that, you can find that there, or you can email me at carecommunicates@gmail.com for more information.
Caroline is a genius and well worth getting connected with if that's something that you're interested in.
And I am hoping to change the world and how we see communication. So, yeah, I'm willing to share my knowledge and crazy ways of thinking with pretty much anyone.
As for the rest of you out there listening in your cars or on your phone, cleaning or working or whatever, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fairy Tale Fix. If you enjoyed this show, as we hope you do, please subscribe and you can leave us a review on Apple or Audible, or you can leave us 5 stars on Spotify. Pretty much anywhere that will allow you to give us feedback, we request that.
Or Amazon Music Now.
Yeah. Thank you, Caroline. You can also, if you would like to support the show with money, you can go to fairytalefixpod.cash and you can get extra episodes and merch and books and other bonus content, like the one we did with Caroline over the winter where we read a children's book that was a Choose Your Own Adventure Red Riding Hood. You will get access to that if you go to our Patreon.
So much fun.
A bonus bonus-ode, if you will. And you will, because it is awesome. You can also find us on social medias of various types at Fairy Tale Fix Pod. We are mostly active on Instagram, so I highly recommend you go check us out there. And you can also go to our Discord. You can find a link for that on our website. And if you have questions about anything, or you just want to tell us your favorite fairy tale, folklore, nursery rhymes, if you want to be like Rabia and do our homework for us and email us about that, you may do so at info@fairytalefixpod.com. We love you, Rabia. You are currently our favorite listener. You have supplanted, I believe it was Coogs that was on top for a brief moment there, but it's Rabia now. Fighter for it. And so, in Caroline's rewrite of Red Robin Hood, she will include elements of the Robin Hood story as is suggested by that title.
And the werewolf is a robber. A witch.
Yes, the werewolf is a robber, and a the grandma is a witch.
And that horrible story. The Heavenly Wedding was renamed something different. Just the Heavenly.
Ooh.
Right? Just, or maybe or like
the marriage the part.
The weird Virgin Mary statue.
Yeah.
And it was actually made into a horror movie where the priest was feeding the statue little kids, little wayward kids.
Oh, that's my it. God. I'd watch that movie.
That's it.
Okay, I didn't watch that movie. I would sit next to Kelsey and Caroline on the couch and keep my head buried in their shoulders. And
while we laugh our asses off.
Yeah. And, well, they didn't all live, but some of them lived.
Except for the kids.
Happily ever after.
The end.